Hello and welcome to the latest episode of Women's Soccer Zone. Delighted to have you with us. And once again, I am joined by my friend out in the US and from Our Game magazine, JJ Duke. JJ, how you doing, pal?
Hello, Kieran. Good to be back.
Good, man. Good to have you back. Well, this is a show that we're going to have a look at the NWSL Championship game. This show will focus purely on the game between the Seattle Reign and FC Kansas City, which kicks off in 1 week's time in Portland. We'll have our next full show at the beginning of next week, so do keep an eye out for that. So, JJ, rather than any breaks, we'll just go straight into it. As we already know, the final for the second year running will be between FC Kansas City, the holders, and Seattle Reign, the current Community Shield holders. Going to be an interesting game, isn't it? But obviously, they both had to come through two relatively tough semi-finals on paper, but two convincing scorelines.
Yeah, I think this, when you look at the scorelines, both teams 3-0 victories. Both were dealt with differently. You look at Kansas City, team on the road, going into Chicago, and basically they're opportunistic. They took their chances and finished. And you know, in a one-off tournament, when you have those chances, you have to finish. And if you don't, then you're going to more often than not be the loser. And unfortunately for Chicago, I think after that first half hour where they gave up the three goals, I think they played very well, or at least they gave a good account of themselves. It was just Kansas City in that match with, you know, obviously the high pressure that they put on Amy Rodriguez was on point as usual. Tim Rack with a good goal as well. And when you have, and I think the real wild card, when you have a goalkeeper like Nicole Barnhart, who has had a proven track record in postseason soccer, if you're down a goal and playing Kansas City in the playoffs, you're not winning that game.
No, not at all. And I think what's really disappointing is that, as we discussed in an earlier show, this was Chicago Red Stars' first postseason match since the club was formed. They had a really consistent season. They led the league for a large portion before slightly slipping up in the back end of the season and allowing Seattle Reign to kind of slip ahead of them. But the reality is that first half, mate, they imploded.
It's tough. I mean, you know, granted, as I said, you had FC Kansas City that came into the game plan and knew that Chicago was going to try to possess the ball. Obviously, they have very possession-minded midfielders like DiBernardo and Cole Parrico. But when you pressure them and go, you know, put the ball back in defense and force them to play long, things usually happen. Michelle Dalton, unfortunately, she had a phenomenal season. You know, people didn't think that she was going to have any factor at all, be the number two and then step in when Karina LeBlanc would go to the World Cup. She earned the number one jersey. And unfortunately, she didn't have a great first half. The one touch that got away and allowed a simple tap in, that really kind of turned things in the favor of FCKC. But again, you know, this is a team, as you said, they're a veteran club. They know how to get the job done when it gets to the stage, and they proved why with that result.
Yeah, and we're going to speak to Becca Morrows very shortly. We have an interview with her. We have an interview with Bev Yanes from Seattle Reign that we'll play a little bit later on. And when I spoke to Becca, she said, you know, one of the reasons that she was keen to join FCKC, obviously she was at the Portland Thorns beforehand, was the professionalism and the way that that team played. And there is something about FCKC, and we've spoken about them before, huge respect, not just from supporters of the game, but fellow teams in the league, the media. Why is it that FC Kansas City, in your mind, are the team that, as you said, can get the job done and they really step up to the plate when it matters? Because they had periods during the season when it didn't exactly go to plan. They lost their opening game. They had a period that I spoke to Becca about in May and June where they went five games without a win. But when it really matters, they know how to get the job done.
Well, I think from day one, you know, when this league was formed back in 2013, the team bought in to Vladko Andonovsky's, you know, style of play, short passes, possession oriented. They're going to build the ball from the back. And you know, when I talk with Laura Harvey recently for a piece that's going to go onto the Our Game magazine website in a couple of days, is, you know, they really set the standard in how teams should go about and play proper football. You know, they possess, they knock it around, they have great strikers, obviously Amy Rodriguez now, who they didn't have in the first season because she was not available due to pregnancy. But, you know, when you you look at the lineup that they have and that they've had throughout the 3 years, obviously a few players here and there that have gone on or have come in, they haven't had any holes really in that starting 11, and they've had some depth on the bench. And when you have that, plus a team buying into what your coaching staff is asking for, and you know, speaking with a bunch of players beforehand, you know, whether this year or years prior, they all just really want to be there. And when you have all that combined, you're going to get the most out of your team. And I think that's why a lot of teams respect what FC KC has done and what they've continued to do. Obviously, as you said, they had some rough patches, but when you can dig down deep into your reserve and find ways to grind out results eventually, you know, they say winning is contagious. It's going to keep going, and you're going to keep picking up 3 points. And FC KC has really peaked in the last few weeks, and you know, that semifinal match was really no different.
And I think that's a really key thing that you mentioned there, in that the players want to be there. And there's no coincidence in my mind that the two teams that have made the final are arguably the two most stable teams in the league. When you look at, they've had the same coach since the league commenced in 2013. A large portion of the players are those that started out when the league started in 2013. We know that on the day of recording, the Boston Breakers have just employed a new coach in Matt Beard, which we will discuss in our next show next week. Paul Riley has just been dismissed as the coach of the Portland Thorns. These two teams, they have stability, don't they? And that's probably a large reason why, for the second year running, they are contesting the championship game.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. They've had the same coach that's been there all 3 years. You know, they haven't had many assistants changes. Obviously, Seattle had the big turnover from year one to year two, but that was really Laura Harvey getting the players that she wanted fully into that squad. And you know, same thing for FC KC. They've made minor tweaks throughout the three seasons. A couple of players gone, a couple of players added in. But yeah, these two teams are the standard of the National Women's Soccer League.
And we'll go into the interview firstly with Becca Morrows shortly. But for you, when we look ahead to that game, we've discussed the fact that FC Kansas City overcame a very good Chicago Red Stars team. What's the key to them repeating the success and the result of the 2-0 win that they had over Seattle Reign last year? What's going to be the key thing in repeating that this time around?
Well, you know, they went into that match with the mindset of just not changing anything that they did prior. You know, at that time, they had Lauren Holiday and Amy Rodriguez. That was the duo. You know, the play started in the midfield from Holiday. She would then find Rodriguez. If that wasn't clicking, you had Tim Rack coming in behind. Then you had different players, obviously, playing their roles. You had a defense that was solid, and again, Nicole Barnhart, granted she was beaten in the last 5 minutes, but that was off of some ping-ponging in the box, and Megan Rapinoe, I believe, was slicing it through, you know, with a little bit of a bending effort. But outside of that, they played almost a perfect 90 minutes that you would want in a championship match than how, the, you know, you want, they had it. So I think for them, it's staying the course. Don't change anything that you're not comfortable doing. And if they get ahead, they're a very tough team to beat. If the match is going to be level going deep into the game, you like their chances. But they're not a team that I don't think, if they play out of their shell, they're going to be a danger. Actually, I should scratch that saying. If they play not the style that they don't like playing, they're not going to be as successful, as opposed to if they stay within themselves, do what they do best, and they should be successful.
And one of the things that I asked Becca Morrows, which we'll hear shortly, the Lauren Holiday effect. This is going to be her last ever club career game. How much of an influence is that going to have? You know, there are going to be players on that field who have played with her at international level. There's obviously her teammates around her at FC KC who will want to give her the best possible send-off. How much added pressure maybe is there on FC KC to try and win this for her?
You know, I've spoken to athletes, not only in soccer, but in any sport, about a player playing their last professional career game. It's in the back of their mind, but when, you know, the whistle blows, you don't really think about that too much. These athletes are, I don't want to say programmed to think this way, but when the 90 minutes are happening, you're thinking about the match. You're thinking about doing whatever it takes to win. I think when the final whistle blows, that's when you're going to start seeing the emotions come out a little bit. But you know, it will be there in the lead up, and I bet the players are going to get asked this enough, and Lauren Holiday is going to get asked this enough in the days leading up. But you know, they just came off of a World Cup final. I think they can handle the pressure of a final match with the, you know, consequences and repercussions. They're not consequences, but you know, the cause and effect that can come from either winning or losing.
Absolutely. Well, look, we've mentioned Becca Morrow's name a few times, and ever present for FC Kansas City this season. I think she missed all of about 70 minutes over the course of the season. Very, very consistent and a big influence on that team. So I caught up with her this week to talk about the big final, Lauren Holiday, and a few questions from our followers on Twitter. So here she is. Okay, and for our FC Kansas City perspective on the big championship game next week, we're delighted to be joined by Becca Morrows after a very impressive season with her club. Becca, how are you doing?
I'm good, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you, very well. No better way to kick off than by asking how much you and your teammates are looking forward to the big game against Seattle in Portland next week.
Oh man, we're really looking forward to it. There's been a long build-up since the semi-final. And so I think it's like everyone is just chomping at the bit now.
In terms of the season, it's opened with a defeat, and you had a couple of good results after that. But in May and June, you went on a 5-game winless streak. Was there ever any concern during that period that, you know, the team had lost a bit of momentum and you were worried potentially that the playoffs might be out of reach? Granted, it was very early in the season, but for a club with the strength of FCKC and the players that you had, five game winless streak, that's quite a long time for you guys.
Yeah, I think that those kinds of things happen in sport. The same way you can get, you know, some good luck, you can get some bad luck, and opponents can play particularly well, or they can have off days, and that's sort of out of your control. But one of the things I think our team and our coaching staff, the whole organization, is very good with is the consistency in terms of our training mentality, the things we focus on, professionalism. Those kinds of things stay constant, and because of that, even when we sort of hit that rough spot, I think there was a lot of confidence that the pieces were there. We just weren't quite getting them together in the right way. So, you know, we could have continued to have some bad luck and not pulled out of it, but I think we were doing the things right that we needed to do, and so I think the tide kind of turned in our favor after that.
How much adjusting did you have to do personally? One of the questions that I received on Twitter was from @AshleyGlover92, who asked the question, how hard was the transition from playing with the Thorns moving over to FCKC?
It actually wasn't too hard. I'm a big soccer fan in general. I watch all the leagues around the world. I'm also, you know, 30 now, so I've played a ton of seasons, including 2 seasons in Japan. And FC Kansas City happened to be the team I really enjoyed watching play last year, just as a fan of the league. I actually went up to Seattle by myself to catch the Seattle final last year. And so I had actually paid a fair amount of attention to the team and the way they played just because it was actually a great fit for me. And so when the trade went down for me to come to Kansas City, I was absolutely disappointed to leave Portland and my teammates, but completely enthusiastic to be a part of FC Kansas City. So the transition wasn't too bad, but it wasn't, you know, without, you know, there's always some loss and some gain along the way. So I've really enjoyed the process and grown from it.
What was it that you admired? You've openly said there that FC Kansas City was the team that you enjoyed watching. Why is that? What was it that you admired about the team?
Well, I thought FC Kansas City was the most professionally performing team. I think Seattle would maybe have an argument to say that they were, so I wouldn't argue against that. But FC Kansas City played the same way in their good games, their bad games. they just looked very well trained and organized. There's not a lot of variability. I think volatility in terms of performance is sort of an amateur quality, or, you know, the professional quality of playing well most of the time. I think that's, you know, was a special part of FC Kansas City as a team, just me as a spectator watching. Also, you know, their back line, I like the way they play. They're organized. The team defends, the whole team behind the ball. There's a lot of commitment out there, and, you know, that style was something I really have always admired, and, you know, I was happy to join a team that had that kind of attitude.
Well, at Life of Caitlin actually asked the question, with FC KC being the only team to make the playoffs 3 years in a row, what do you think has been the key to the team's success? Would you put it down to that professionalism? And if so, what else do you think has been the key to that? I know you've only been there for a year. But when you look at the 3 years, what's been the key to that team being the consistent side in reaching the playoffs?
Yeah, I mean, I was out of the country the first year, so I didn't see too many of the NWSL games. And then the second year, obviously, I watched, you know, FC Kansas City to scout for my own games more than anything else and just to enjoy the games. And then this year, I've been right in the thick of it. But we have had some personnel come in and out this season, so I think this season may be a little bit different from the past two seasons. But I would say there's probably a lot of consistent leadership on this team, and that may be why there is so much professionalism and the quality of play is so high most of the time. But yeah, I would say probably there's a consistency in the way the team trains, and then in terms of the leadership. It's also a very veteran team, which means that a lot of the players have had played more seasons, so I think that helps with consistency as well.
How much did the team have to adjust, starting with international players, losing them for the World Cup? You obviously lost arguably the spine of your team with Becky and Lauren and Heather and Amy going over to Canada for the World Cup. You then play without them for a period and then they come back into the team. How difficult is that? Or is it because of the quality of the players, it's a very easy transition to get used to?
I think it is difficult, partially because there are four big personalities and leaders, not just soccer players. So in terms of the team dynamic, it's a different feeling when they're here and when they're not, in addition to them being very strong players and their leaders on and off the field. So I think their confidence in themselves and you know, their experience really has, as they've come back, obviously they had, you know, they had an incredibly grueling World Cup schedule that they did an awesome job with, so they had their own transition stuff to deal with, but I think that's a tough challenge for any team, and obviously the administration has to be prepared for that. If they had a little bit longer season, that might be a little bit smoother of a thing, but it was a big, big chunk of the season, so I think it was a hard challenge for us, losing those personalities, and then, you know, getting them back into the mix of things was not as difficult a challenge because they're all wonderful people and everyone's happy to have them around.
You mentioned tough challenges there. Few tougher challenges than playing a postseason semi-final in Chicago. That team really impressed throughout the year. Their first ever appearance in the playoffs, so they had a lot to play for. And the home crowd on their side, and you guys went there and, with the greatest respect to them, absolutely tore them apart in that first half. What was the mentality and the feeling going into that semi-final? Because they had a good year. They, like you, had their international players back, but you really showed them who the class team was on the day.
Yeah, I give Chicago a ton of credit. It's only the third year of the league, so teams have come in, you know, with a different amount of initial success versus from one year to the next. So I think that they've grown tremendously, which is, that's an impressive thing, to become one of the better teams in the league after a short period of time. Because, you know, starting from scratch and new coaches, new players, new everything, you need some luck to do well in the beginning. So I think that they really proved that they've grown and they have a good thing going on there, and that they'll probably continue to be a contender, you know, in the years to come, which is awesome. They've also given us a ton of trouble this season. Particularly, we struggled against them. We didn't put together our best performances when we were playing them. So that was an important game for us to just play our way, and I think we did. We kind of, obviously with the goal scoring, we hit it straight away, and that really sort of took, I think, the momentum. And, you know, you go down 3-0 in the first half, that's a very difficult thing to respond to. So I think things went our way, but, you know, we have very, very strong players. So when we play our best, it's, you know, it'd be a tough side for anybody to beat.
I spoke to Bev Yanez, someone that you will know very well. I'll speak to you about in a minute. And I mentioned the fact that with the final being in Portland and the rivalry that exists between Portland and Seattle, is there part of you that thinks you might have a lot of the crowd on your side next week?
Yeah, I would be surprised if much of the crowd was in Seattle's corner, except for, I mean, it is a 2.5-hour drive, so I bet some of their fans will make that trip down, so that should make it a good environment. But I would think a number of folks will come out to cheer against Seattle, because that is one of the healthiest rivalries in that part of the country. So I'm hoping, and I think there's a good chance we'll kind of get some of the home crowd favoritism. So that'd be great.
And what's the sort of feeling in the squad going into that game? Obviously, I know you weren't part of it, but they've got a title to defend, having beaten the same opposition in Seattle last year. A little bit of pressure, maybe, to try and repeat that accolade, or going into it very relaxed?
I think there's pressure there. But the team is so even-tempered and consistent. I think people just worry about taking care of business and doing the things they can do to affect the outcome of the game. You know, this is one of the most even teams I've ever played on. The mentality of the team is so, so consistent and calm and composed. And that's all I've really seen so far. I mean, there's obviously a dialogue going on. People are very competitive and excited for the game and want to play their best and think Seattle's a worthy opponent and, you know that it's going to be a great challenge. So I think it's just a ton of enthusiasm, but overall I haven't sensed much in terms of nerves or pressure or anything like that.
And what about on a personal level? It'll be your first NWSL championship game. How much pressure are you feeling? How much are you really hoping that you can go out there and put in a good performance?
Well, I haven't really started thinking about it on a personal level because I get so amped up and you try to wait till it gets closer to games to think very specifically in terms of, you know, my own competitive energy. But, yeah, it's huge. Portland is kind of home to me right now, and it's, you know, it's an honor to go back there and play in that stadium. I love that stadium. I love the fans. Seattle, I really respect the way they play, and particularly their midfield and offensive play. So, you know, I have a lot of, you know, competitive energy to sort of shut that down or be a part of a defense that shuts that down. And you know, I think it's going to be a very, very tough game. But, you know, I think it's no more pressure than anything else. Once you get out there, you kind of forget and you just fight and compete the same way you do every day. So I'm mostly just looking forward to it at this point, but I'm sure just before the whistle blows, I'll be thinking about how much is on the line.
How much are you guys, and it might seem a strange question, but how much are you guys conscious that this is going to be Lauren Holliday's last club game, or actually last career game at club level? She'll obviously retire at the end of the year, at the end of the US Women's National Team's victory tour. But how much is the team conscious that this is the curtain being closed on her career at club level?
I think the team's very aware of it. There have been a number of situations where Lauren's been honored before or during games, both home games and away games, and obviously a lot of commentary about that in the national team's victory tour. And So everyone's very, very aware of it. Lauren is a big personality and definitely a focal point of the team, but she doesn't really encourage that much of the attention to get put on her. So I would imagine she's going to minimize it as she has, but I think people will be aware of it. I think her sort of personality is to sort of like go for it, and I think that's what the team will do, get behind her and just go for it and make it a good game, and hopefully, you know, honor her going out with a good performance. And I think we can do that, and I think that's probably what she'd want us to do. So I think it'll happen.
I mentioned Bev Yanez. She's also on this show doing the equivalent of what you're doing, but from a Seattle Reign perspective. You guys have played a lot of your career together. You played in the WPS together. You played out in Japan with Ainak Kobe. How much are you looking forward to coming up against her?
Yeah. Bev is a wonderful player. I love playing with her. I love playing against her. She could be kind of mean out there. She can hit some hard tackles. So she's a worthy opponent on all scores. But she's had a tremendous year, and I'm nothing but proud of her. And I'm very glad she's overcome her injury late in the season to be able to play, you know, critical minutes in the semifinal. And then, you know, she'll play, I'm assuming, in the final as well. So I'm a big fan of hers, and she's one of my best friends and friends with her family. And, you know, I want nothing but the best for her. But obviously, I want to beat her on next Thursday. So I hope she has a wonderful game, but comes up a little bit short.
Well, before we go into a few questions from Twitter followers, I guess my final question is, how much would it mean to you to lift that NWSL trophy next week?
Oh, man, it would be huge. And certainly a shining moment in my career. This season has had a little bit of everything. So to come through it and finish on top with, you know, a wonderful group of teammates, great coaching staff, committed and passionate organization. I think all the pieces are there to have, you know, spectacular finish and come home with the trophy. So it would really be a dream come true.
Okay, brilliant stuff. Well, we wish you well for that game, Becca. Just a few questions from some of the people that follow us on Twitter. I'll go in with a nice light-hearted one. What's your favourite pump-up song before a game, especially a championship game?
Well, our locker room music has been delegated to one of the rookies, Caitlin Rowland, so she usually kind of hooks us up with some energetic jams. But couple of my teammates introduced me to Tegan and Sarah, although they're not new at all. So Tegan and Sarah, Closer, is my favorite pump-up song right now.
Okay. Is there anything about your mentality that changes going into a championship game versus a regular playoff game?
No, not going into the game. Obviously, late in the game, if something has to be accomplished, you know, if we're down a goal or anything like that, I would change the way I was playing to push for that. But I think one of the critical things about being a professional is to create a routine and a mentality that can stand up to any challenge. And like I said earlier, you can get good luck or bad luck, and that certainly plays a factor in winning or losing. But in terms of tipping that in your favor, I think having, you know, the right preparation is the same no matter what game it is. And that way you can have confidence going into big games with big pressure that, you know, you've done everything and you can just fall back on that and just compete as you always do.
Okay. And final one, another nice light-hearted one that comes in from @demo_Nick. Which attacking women's soccer player, both domestic as well as overseas, do you find the biggest challenge to defend against?
It's a good question. I have a lot of favorite players. So, I mean, I guess I would have to say currently I would give it to Kim Little. I think her versatility and her engine, her ability to pop out from all different places on the field and turn defensive moments into sudden offensive moments is something special. So I think she's quite a difficult player to mark.
Okay, excellent. Do you know, I'm going to throw one in myself to end because it's a question that someone posed to Bev. And she was brave enough to answer it, so I hope you're going to follow suit, Becca.
Okay.
Who would be, in players that you've played with in your career, who would make up your fantasy six-a-side team? So one goalkeeper and five outfield players.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And I will happily reveal who Bev went with off recording when we're finished.
Yeah, this is... There's so many great players to pick from. I don't even know. Five aside, there are so Ji Soyun. She's a Korean center midfielder. The closest thing I've seen to Iniesta on the women's side, so I would take the female Iniesta on my team.
Well, Ji is over here. Ji's over here playing for Chelsea.
Yeah. She sure is. I don't know exactly how she's doing right now.
She's doing very, very well.
She's really a spectacular player.
She's doing very well.
Yeah, she's wonderful. Goalkeepers, I'd have to take Barney, Nicole Barnhart.
So that's two.
Things just hit Barney and don't go in the goal. Even if Barney's not looking, she manages to make saves. So I would take Barney on my six-a-side team for sure. Can't go without Becky Sauerbrunn. She's just too consistent and too smooth. So that's what do I have right there. That's three. And am I playing on this team?
Bev wasn't playing on hers. That's all I'll say.
Yeah. So now that's four total. I'm gonna take Bev too. Let's take Bev, and then I would take. I'm taking Yael, Ava Bush.
So we've got Nicole. We've got Becky. We've got Yael. We've got Bev, we've got Ji Soyun, you've got one more.
Oh, I get one more, okay. Well, do that and myself.
And yourself. Brilliant. I love a player that puts themselves in their fantasy teams. Becca, it's been a genuine pleasure. Thank you for joining us. Wish you the very best for the game against Seattle Reign next week. I'm sure it's going to be an absolute cracker, and the very best of luck to you.
Women's Soccer Zone. Follow the show on Twitter. At WOSO Zone.
So that was Becca Morrows. Really good interview. Really appreciate her giving us her time. JJ, we move on to FC KC's opponents in the final, the Seattle Reign. And as we discussed, a tough game on paper against a spirited Washington side, but overall a convincing 3-0 win. But it wasn't easy, was it?
No, it wasn't. And I think, honestly, it was a repeat almost of a year ago where the Spirit traveled out to Memorial Stadium and they put in a game effort, but the subplot lines were the same. Seattle shut down any avenue that Washington had of going forward and attacking. You just look at the statistics on their own. The Spirit had three total shots. That's just total shots, and one of them was on target. If I think my memory serves me correctly, it wasn't something that Hope Solo was really tested on. She had to, take a couple of collections out of the air on crosses, take a few goal kicks, a couple of balls passed back to her, but she had a relatively simple day inside her own 18-yard box, and that's credited to the thing that has been the constant for the Seattle Reign, their defense. And they don't just defend from the back. They defend from the forward line to the midfield line to the back. And, the one option for the Spirit that was highly talked about throughout the broadcast was finding a way to get Crystal Dunn involved. And one of those main targets was having Christine Nairn not being afforded the opportunity to send service out to her, whether it was over the top or to spring her wide down the flanks. Seattle did the job. They eventually wore down the Spirit, got a couple of goals, and the game really just opened up from there.
I don't want to spend a lot of time discussing this because it's kind of a little bit of old news, but not something that we've had a chance to talk about on our show. Ali Krieger obviously missed the game due to a family commitment, her father getting married, and when it was made public that she would be missing the game, there was a little bit of outcry from a few Washington Spirit fans, even some media who criticised her for essentially missing what was the team's most important game of the season. It resulted in her having to come out with a statement which essentially outlined how important it was to her to attend her father's wedding and how disappointed she would be to miss the game. From a personal perspective, football is a job, and it's like no other job other than it's high profile. Now, if a family member of mine is getting married, I'm taking the day off work. And as far as I'm concerned, that's exactly what Ali Krieger did. Now, for her to have to come out and make a statement, or feel that she had to come out and make a statement to justify her decision, for me, I didn't really understand that. I felt that it was something that she shouldn't have had to do. But was it something that she felt backed into a corner and maybe thought, do you know what, I need to explain myself?
Yeah, you know, I think that's a personal decision for her. I've supported her decision 100% from the beginning. Family always comes first, no matter what. That's how I was born and raised. And I would have to think, Karen, that's probably how you were born and raised as well, that you know, whenever time comes and family calls, you're going to stop what you're doing and go to that. You know, it's unfortunate that it had to go to that situation. But, you know, end of the day, that's what the decision was made, and we have to accept with it. I didn't think that she had to, personally. If you're going to your father's wedding, you go to the wedding. There's really no other questions to be asked.
No, and that's my personal opinion as well, which is why I was disappointed that she felt she had to come out and explain herself, because, as you rightfully say, family always comes first, and there will be other opportunities for her to represent Washington Spirit in a post-match playoff game, I'm sure. How many times is her father going to get married? That's the kind of perception that I have. But I just was interested to know your view. And by all means, if anyone listening to this show has any strong views and wants to tweet us, you can do on @WosoZone, no problem at all. But obviously, going back to the game, we know that Seattle were on paper, and the scoreline will be 3-0. But it took until the 70-odd minutes for them to break the deadlock. Bev Yanez with her first touch of the game, which I do speak to her about in the interview that's upcoming. I mean, when the going got tough, the rain got going, didn't they? They stepped up to the plate in that crucial period of the game in the last 15, 20 minutes, and they ran away with it.
Yeah, they did. And, you know, sometimes they always talk about in matches where a manager can look like a genius or someone that's not so smart in their substitutions. Well, Laura Harvey got them 100% right in that match. Obviously, Bev Yanez comes in, 40 seconds after she comes on, she scores. You know, that changed the game in its entirety. It forced Washington to come out and, you know, start to press the game. That made the game stretched open. Megan Rapinoe doing what she does best. And then Mariah Bullock getting her first career goal, or first goal of the season, I should say, with the Seattle Reign. You know, that's two substitutes coming off the bench and getting tallies, whether it's in the goals or the assist department. And also Ellie Reed was the third substitution. She was a standout in defense for the last few minutes, keeping the score line where it was at the time. So, you know, substitutions, it's always a talking point of the game, and it could come up again on the final match itself, where who's going to have the depth, because someone might not have it come next Thursday, and who's going to be the player that will step up and make the most of the opportunity. You know, Seattle has that depth, and, you know, it's a tough thing to crack that Reign lineup. There are a lot of good players, and granted, there's a lot of good players and any of the four playoff teams, but it comes time and time again that no matter who it is that the Seattle Reign have on the field, they're going to make an impact.
Yeah, definitely. And I guess one of the things that's going to be key for Seattle is to try and nullify that threat that essentially was the winning combination for FCKC last year in Lauren Holiday and Amy Rodriguez. And what do you think is going to be, other than that, what's going to be the key for Seattle trying to overcome that result that the FCKC were able to achieve last year? Are we looking at the likes of Kim Little? Are we looking at the return of Bev Yanez that's going to be key in trying to fire them to that title?
I'm not going to say what I did for FC KC outside of, you know, Seattle does need to play within their own system, but to get things more tactical, I guess, you're going to have to spread the field, make it as wide as possible, and allow the pacey players of Seattle, like Megan Rapinoe, like also where you have Stephanie Cox coming from the fullback position, get wide, get service into the box, and then when they get them wide, it allows the center part of the field to open up the spine, if you will, and that's where Kim Little shines. Give her a little bit of space, a half yard, and she's going to create something and make it happen. But then at the same time, the defense is going to have to be very organized, as they always are, but Lauren Holiday has shown that, and even Erica Timrek as well, that they can pick apart a defense any time that they please when they're on a counterattack or when they have numbers going forward. So getting the field wide and staying organized, that will be, I think, the two main points for the rank in that final.
Well, it's a question that I asked Becca and a question that you'll hear me ask Bev in the interview that's upcoming. International break sandwiched in between the playoff semi-finals and the championship game. Both teams will have been training for more than half of that period in between the two games without a number of key individuals. FC Casey, obviously their US international, Seattle Reign, we're talking about Hope Solo, Rachel Causey, Jess Fishlock, Kim Little, Megan Rapinoe. Not being able to prepare for the biggest club game in the season for a large part without key players. How significant is that in your mind in trying to prepare for such a big game, such a big occasion, and you're having to do it without some of your key pieces to the puzzle?
You know, I'm thinking that's not a massive talking point just purely because of how big the gap is between matches. The semifinals are played on Sunday, September 13th. The finals being played on Thursday, October 1st. That's a long time to sit around and to, you know, not be playing matches as a professional, whether it's, I've talked to, you know, soccer players, I've talked to baseball players, talked to basketball players. They want to be playing, you know, every few days. Now, granted, soccer, traditionally you're playing one match in the weekend, or on the rare occasion you'll have a match on the midweek in the weekend. But, you know, sitting around and waiting for a long time, that's pretty rough to do. So I think it's not going to be as much of a factor of having those players go off and playing, you know, for some competitive matches, for some just matches in general, but that's a help. What I think is going to be a big concern is how these two teams are going to go about it with an 18-day break if they haven't played, like, any practice matches or anything like that, just to keep, you know, your match fitness, if you will. I know they talk about that enough, but, you know, having that mental sharpness on the field, going 2.5 weeks without playing any competitive football is going to be tough. So that first half hour may be a little bit, I don't want to say raw, but it's not going to be the fluid, you know, gameplay that both of these teams have, purely because of the fact that they just haven't been playing together in terms of a match in a while. You know, granted, you add in the pressure of, you know, it's a championship match. Both teams aren't going to want to make a mistake, you know, for that 90 minutes. But I think it's not so much having the internationals not there. I think it's just the fact that they haven't played in a while is going to be rough.
Okay. Well, look, we've discussed it a lot. We've already heard from Becca Morris. We need to get some balance. So I was lucky enough this week to speak to Bev Yanez, who has been on this show, not for a long time, but she was on it a couple of years ago. So here's what she had to say about the championship game and Seattle Reign's hopes. So delighted to be joined by Bev Yanez on this episode of Women's Soccer Zone previewing the NWSL Championship game in Portland on the 1st of October. Bev, thanks for joining us. First question, how much are you looking forward to the big game against FC Kansas City?
I'm looking so forward to it. The team is as a whole. We're really excited to be in this position again where we have won the league title and now we're on to the championship game.
Been a good season for you personally as well. 9 regular season goals. Obviously, you got your goal in the semi-final in the postseason as well. What's been the secret to what's been a really, really consistent and productive year for you?
Well, I really appreciate that, but I give all the credit to my team. We have a fantastic team, and I always say it, the coaching staff and the club as a whole put together such an amazing squad from top to bottom, and it's just allowed me to really be my best this year for the team, and they've put me in such great positions to be able to finish, and I'm really thankful that I've been able to finish. but, yeah, it's just been really nice kind of breaking into the tactical side of my game that I kind of picked up on in Japan and explore that a little bit more. And obviously, I really love Coach Harvey and her style. And so it's been a great year for everyone. And we're excited. We're really excited.
Being an English-based show, people will be interested in Laura Harvey. I've interviewed her on many an occasion. Tell me what it's like for you as an individual and for the American girls, what it's like to work under her coaching.
Yeah, I think she's phenomenal. And she's phenomenal in so many different ways, in the sense of being fun. She's a lot of fun. She explains the game so well. She understands the game so well. You never walk away from a film session having a question because she breaks it down tactically that each player understands what their role is. And she just really brings this positive energy, and you just want to play for her, and you want to play for the players around you in the club as a whole. Creates such a positive environment. And honestly, I'm just so thankful to be a part of it.
Let's rewind a little bit. You came into the 2015 season off the back of, I guess, what can only be described as a disappointing championship game defeat to FC Kansas City last year. How did you guys pick yourselves up, and what was the message going into the new year?
Yeah. I mean, obviously we were disappointed with the loss in the finals, and credit to them. They were two great goals. We tried to come back, got one. And couldn't find the back of the net to tie the game and kind of push it forward. But we just came in and saying, hey, we just want to be better than last year. We want to continue to push ourselves, and that's our outlook every game, is we want to be better. We want to be better as a collective. And so going into this year, we thought, you know, just keep trying to be better in all aspects of the game, on the ball, off the ball, movement on the ball, movement off the ball, and as a team from our goalkeeper all the way up to the front line, just making sure that we, you know, defend as a team, attack as a team, and create as many opportunities as we can. And we're constantly trying to improve, and we expect that of ourselves and of the players around us. And so we've just been trying to push each other as a group, and we're just really looking forward to this coming game.
Another Supporters' Shield victory to top it off, and another one to follow on from last year's. At what point of the season did you think, do you know what, we're really in this, and we're going to make the playoffs, and we're going to finish top of the table?
I think that we, at least for me personally, and I think as a club too, is we focus game to game. Every game we want to be better. Every week we focus on us as a team, who we are playing, how we can break the opposing team down. And so we work game by game, and I think that allows us to, like, obviously we have goals. We have those short-term goals, the long-term goals. We have all the goals, and for us it's just as we start competing throughout the season, you know, working our hardest, obviously, in training and doing our best in games, and sometimes they're not going to go, you know, the way that we wanted during the season, throughout the season, but how can we perfect that and try and be the best team that we can possibly be? And I think as it started moving on, we're like, okay, you know, the realization of being in a playoff spot and then having the opportunity to put a playoff spot away, taking care of that business, so.
Yeah. So you win the Shield, you then face Washington Spirit in the semi-final, a repeat of last year's semi-final. The game's at 0-0. You've missed the last game of the regular season through injury. You come on as a sub. What's the message from Laura?
So I missed the last three games of season. I'm trying to put myself in a position to be able to come back healthy and come back strong for the team was my main focus, but also making sure that I didn't rush the injury at any point. So I tried to keep a positive mindset the entire time. Come game day, I just kept my mentality strong that, hey, you know, I hope if I do get out there that I'm just going to play for the team and give my heart lay it all out there. And as I got ready to get on the field, I went out there and I didn't really, I don't think you ever really think that you're going to score that quickly. But you kind of have that mentality that you want to go out there and you want to affect the game as a sub. And I went out there and Kino obviously doing what she does best, putting in a nice ball, and I was lucky enough to get on the end of it. And then, I'm just really thankful that I was able to participate in a game like that. And I appreciate all the club's efforts and everyone involved in getting me back as quickly and as healthy as possible.
You're being quite modest there, Bev, because for anyone that didn't see it, which is not very many, I can imagine, you scored with your first touch after coming on as a sub. And actually, a good friend of mine, Jacob Cristobal, actually asked, is that the quickest goal you've ever scored?
I think that is. I definitely think that is the quickest goal I've ever scored. And again, it didn't even register to me. And so everyone was kind of huddling up and everyone's like, was that your first touch of the game? And then all of a sudden I was like, oh my gosh, yeah, it was. Because as soon as I jumped in with the mentality of just be focused, affect this game in all ways that you can, off the ball and on the ball. So as soon as I got in, I was already in tune to where I was positioning myself defensively in order to affect the game. And then all of a sudden I found myself in front of goal and saw Pino had it on her foot, and I know what she does. and so I tried to create some space in front of goal, and again, a really, really nice ball across, and I was really thankful to kind of get us on the scoreboard and go from there.
It was a strong victory because Washington Spirit certainly were very impressive. Crystal Dunn had a very good individual season, and as a team, I think improved on last year despite finishing in the same league position. You've now got the same test that you had last year in a repeat of the 2014 final against FC Kansas City. I guess one question I'd have, is there a little bit of fear in the team that, being that it's in Portland, the crowd may be largely neutral in terms of not being Seattle or FC Kansas City fans, but may support FC Kansas City because of that rivalry that exists between Portland and Seattle?
So I thought, addressing your first thing is I thought that the Spirit did have a great season, and I thought that they were, they performed well this season. And going on to the Kansas City question and being played in Portland, and I think our main focus and my main focus as a player is just, no matter what venue's created and what the setting is doing our best to prepare mentally and doing our best to prepare as a team to perform and give it our all. I mean, it's the last game. It's the all-or-nothing game. so just having the understanding that whatever the crowd kind of gives us, it's going to be on game day. I don't know what to expect personally. I understand that it's in Portland. I also do understand it's a close drive for fans, Seattle fans. And so I honestly don't know what to expect, but I'm training myself with the mentality that to be mentally strong and to be mentally prepared and to be prepared as a whole, as a team, to go out there and give it our absolute best and lay everything on the line.
Now, I know you'll probably give quite a diplomatic answer, but how much has preparation been disrupted with an international weekend being sandwiched in the middle of the season, the game against Washington and the game in Portland? No Hope Solo, no Megan Rapinoe, Kim Little, Jess Fishlock, all the way on international duty at the moment. How are you preparing with players that are going to be key missing?
I think, again, it's mentality. I mean, I obviously think so highly of all those players and all the different roles that they've played for this club. They're phenomenal players and they're phenomenal people. So obviously they're, pretty missed at, they're missed at training sessions and stuff like that. And I think at this point it's just mentality in that we know what they mean to this club, and just waiting for them to come back, and we'll kind of go from there.
And of course, Rachel Corsi, another one who's with Scotland. In terms of the game, how are you guys approaching this one, bearing in mind the result that happened last year, is preparation any different? Has Laura given you any kind of different instructions, or are you preparing any differently to last year? What's the approach at the moment?
No. I think that we are excited for this game. We're very excited for this game, and we are very confident in our team and our style of play and what we want to bring to the game. And so I think we're all excited, and we're just really ready for this game. Really, really ready. So that's all I could say.
And how much would it mean to you to come out on top this year, bearing in mind the disappointment that you no doubt experienced last year?
Yeah, no, it means a lot. It means a lot. I know you addressed the question to me personally, so I answer. For me personally, it means a lot. I know, you know, last year we obviously won the league title and lost in the championship game, and it was extremely disappointing. And I know that this year we've done the same thing, and I hope to take home the championship.
Okay. So,
but my main focus is to do what I can to prepare properly, to be best effective for the team, and to give the game everything I have.
Okay, great stuff, Bev. Well, look, we'll round up very quickly with a few questions that have been tweeted in. So I will start off with It's Tina, who asked, how is the season different from last year regarding your role on the team and the mentality of the team leading up to the finals?
Yeah, I think that last year coming in on loan from my Japanese team, kind of obviously a different style of soccer, and coming to a team that I thought so highly of and the style of soccer that they tried to play, trying to get incorporated and feeling comfortable and stuff like that. I feel like this year I'm a lot more comfortable, and I'm able to kind of play a little more with ease, in the sense of I'm not as nervous, that kind of stuff. Just feeling more comfortable in general and having a clear understanding of the direction you want to head as a team. I don't think that, again, we just want to be better each game. We want to continue to stay positive and not think so much about last year, but think about this year, because they're two different things. So I think our mentality is very focused and very positive, and trying not to think so much about last year.
Okay. You mentioned your Japanese club. At Solo Have Hope asked the question, did playing in Japan affect your style of play?
Yes, absolutely. I have an immense amount of respect for the Japanese style of soccer and the Japanese culture as a whole. I really think that I was able to tap into game, to aspects of my game that I thought maybe that I never had the opportunity to explore, being the technical and tactical side. I went over there and for basically 2.5 years. I was, taught so many things tactically. And it definitely changed me a lot as to who I was as a player, because I couldn't speak any Japanese. So I kind of had to find my own strengths and weaknesses and identify them myself, and then figure out how I was going to work on those and what I needed to do, because I didn't have much feedback. I had very, very little feedback. So being able to explore that as a player and know the kind of player that I wanted to become, is something that the Japanese style of soccer and the Japanese culture gave me, and it's something that I will never forget. So I definitely hold a special place in my heart, and I think that it's really allowed me to be the player that I am today, and it's had a big impact on the player I am today.
Okay, just a couple more. At US Women's National Team Reactions asked the question, is there any pre-game rituals you do before a game?
Pre-game rituals? I like to dance a lot, love to dance, and I usually find that when music's on and I'm kind of just, having some fun in the locker room before I head out, I'm usually a little less tense and a little more excited, and it just kind of calms my nerves down a little bit, so I wouldn't necessarily consider it a ritual, because I definitely don't do it every game, but that's probably the only thing that I can kind of think of that really relaxes my mind and kind of just puts a smile on my face. I didn't say that I was good at dancing, but it's definitely something that I like to do.
Who is good at dancing, Beth?
Oh, we have some good dancers for sure. We've got all styles. It's just fun.
Excellent, excellent. Just two more. One of these, I guess this one's a little bit of a tricky one, but I'm going to ask it. At Jigsaw Will asked, do you believe your form in the NWSL will lead to a US Women's National Team call-up?
I don't know how that works, and I do my best to play hard for this club and for this team. And if that is something that... if that opportunity comes, I would obviously be really grateful. But I know that there's so many talented players in this league. And so I'm, you know, just doing my best for my club. And if something, an opportunity like that comes along, I would be really excited. But, yeah.
Okay. And final one. This comes from at Samantha 6276395 7. That's the longest Twitter name I've ever seen. Who would be in your five-a-side fantasy team?
Oh my gosh! And it's out of the whole NWSL, or is it just my team?
Let's say players that you've played with in your career.
Players that I've played with in my career, five-a-side.
Uh huh.
Wow, that is rough. Okay, five. Okay, I'm trying to picture my formation. okay, players that I've played with in my career. I would say, oh my gosh, Sawa.
Homari Sawa, yeah.
Little.
Kim Little. Little, yeah. Goalkeeper.
Five aside plus one, right? So it's five players plus a keeper, right?
Five players including the keeper.
Five players including the keeper?
Uh-huh.
Wow, that's five. It was five? I thought it was five plus one.
Okay, let's say six aside then. So five plus your keeper. So you've got Hamari Sawa, you've got Kim Little.
Yeah, let's do five. Yeah, so Hamari Sawa, Kim Little. Hope Solo.
So you've got three more.
Okay. Forward, Naho Kawasumi.
Yep.
And I have two left, right?
Yep. Depending on how attacking you want to go, you could have another forward or you could have two defenders.
Defenders. I can have another forward. Okay, I got two left. Man, you guys are making this hard on me. Two left.
That's what we're here for, Bev, to ask the difficult questions.
I know. Okay, so I'd probably put Naho and Kim up top with Sawa in the middle. And then my two defenders would be Lou Barnes and Becky Sauerbrunn. And my goalie would be Hope.
Brilliant. Got there in the end. I know it's a difficult question and you'll probably put the phone down and you'll think, damn, I left someone out. But... fair play.
I know, I'm trying to think back to all the teams I've played for.
You've played for some good teams as well. You've played for some good teams, so fair play. You did it on the spot. That's what we like, natural answers. But look, above, I'm going to let you go. It's been, as always, a pleasure. Thank you for your time. Wish you the very best for the final next week. I'm sure it's going to be a cracking game. And, yeah, enjoy it. And we'll speak to you again, no doubt, in the future.
Women's Soccer Zone would like to thank our partners, She Kicks magazine. Subscribe at shekicks.net for even more women's football.
So that was Bev Yanez. Great for her to join us once again. And JJ, I think that's enough on the championship game. And going to be an interesting one. You're going to stick your neck out and say who you think is going to win?
Who will win? It's a tale. I think it's a quest, if you will, of which team is going to fulfill destiny. On one end, you have a team that's trying to do something that hasn't been done in quite a while, at least in American perspective, of defend your championship. On the other end, you've had a team that's won the regular season twice in a row, came up short last year, and now has the chance to have revenge on their rival's ground. It's going to be interesting. I will stick my neck out. I'm going to say that 90 minutes are not going to be enough to decide it. I think, however, the team from the Northwest will be having a little bit of revenge on their FC Casey rival and taking a win home. I'm going to call it 3-2 to the Rain.
Good. I'm glad you were willing to stick your neck out, because I'm not, so you can be the representative for both of us. So I think that is a nice way to end the show. If you want to listen to us on iTunes, you can do. Download us by just searching for Women's Soccer Zone. We're also available on audioboom.com/WOSOZone. If you want to contact us on Twitter, you can do. We're on @WOSOZone. And by all means, email us any feedback that you wish to on WOSOZone@gmail.com. Sure to be a fascinating championship game next week. And as I said, we will have our standard Women's Soccer Zone episode at the beginning of next week, so do have a look out for that. We'll discuss Euro 2017 qualifiers, Matt Beard's appointment at Boston Breakers, Paul Riley's dismissal at the Thorns, loads of stuff to come, FAWSL, you name it, we've got it. So JJ, thanks a lot, mate.
No problem. Drop in some insightful insight there.
Always a pleasure, and we will speak to you all very soon.